Fasten your seatbelt and turn up the radio. We're going on a road trip. I'm Glenn Moberg, and today on Route 51, we mark the second anniversary of the Affordable Care Act, the National Health Insurance Reform Bill that was signed into law by President Obama in March of 2010. The law is being implemented gradually, with different benefits and mandates taking effect, starting with the enactment of the law 2 years ago and continuing through the year 2015. How much the law actually becomes a reality could depend on the national elections later this year, with Republicans running on a platform to repeal what they call Obamacare as a threat to the free market, and Democrats defending the law as a needed set of protections in an America where millions lack health insurance and can't afford to buy it. Today on Route 51 in our Wausau studio, we have Dr. Todd Stewart. He's vice president of the Marshfield Clinic and a pediatric intensivist physician. Joining us from our studio in Superior, Doug Hill, the executive director of Know Your Care Wisconsin. That's a nonpartisan organization with a mission of informing the public about the new health care law. This is a complicated law. There are many provisions that are being enacted over the course of several years. So I imagine you've got questions. Questions about what it means to you, your medical care, your relationship with your doctor, and your health insurance coverage. Well, this is a rare opportunity for you to get direct answers to your questions from the experts. Dr. Stewart and Mr. Hill will be taking your calls live on the air at 1-800-780-9742. That number again is 1-800-780-9742. And we have wide open phone lines right now. So if you'd like to get in line, give us a call. Doug Hill, thanks for making yourself available today. And let's start with you. Tell us about Know Your Care Wisconsin, exactly what it is and what you try to do.
Good afternoon, Glenn. Thanks for having me on your show. I appreciate it. Know Your Care Wisconsin is, as you said, a nonprofit, nonpartisan organization. We are in about 20 states all around the country. Know Your Care Wisconsin started last May, and I came on as state director. And our core mission is to go all over the state of Wisconsin, educating, building capacity for understanding, and answering questions people have about the Affordable Care Act, the health care reform law that was passed on March 23rd, 2010.
Is this an advocacy organization? You worked for many years with former Democratic Congressman Dave Obey, who called the National Health Reform Law one of the most important pieces of legislation in American history. So are you an advocate for this, or is this? Do you see your role as being more informational?
Well, as a C3 organization, we focus primarily on education. Certainly, in my role as educating the public on the Affordable Care Act, I'm inadvertently advocating for it, more so advocating for people to understand, the law itself and what benefits of the law and how the policy of the law affects them and their family.
And Dr. Todd Stewart, how is this law affecting the Marshfield Clinic? How is it affecting its doctors and the ministry, healthcare hospitals and clinics where many of them work?
Well, thank you, Glenn, and it's a pleasure to be here. You know, since the law has been enacted, the Marshfield Clinic has been very proactive about looking at what the law is going to mean not only to the physicians and staff at the Marshfield Clinic, but also the patients. You know, we are a mission-driven organization. We are focused on providing high-quality health care in addition to research and education. But, you know, the main focus of our organization has always been health care. We always want to put our patients first in everything we do, and as we've sort of watched the Accountable Care Act evolve from its beginnings to where we are today, we want to make sure that as legislation is passed and is becoming before the public, it has the patient's interests at heart.
It has the act so far changed the way you do business, the way your doctors treat patients and so on?
Oh, it has. And what we're seeing initially is a drive towards quality. Traditionally, in the United States, and Wisconsin is no exception, physicians and hospitals have always been paid for volume rather than quality. And what the Accountable Care Act is attempting to do is shift that more towards quality, so that patients are paying for their value as opposed to the number of times they see their physician.
And how is it affecting the insurance companies that provide the payments to the doctors who work for the clinic? You know, Marshfield Clinic works very closely with at least one Wisconsin insurance company, Security Health Plan.
Mm-hmm. You know, what we're seeing is that the health plans also have some mandates that are coming down through the Accountable Care Act that are going to change the way they're going to be able to do business. And as a result, when we have negotiations with various payers, whether they be governmental or commercial payers, again, they're beginning to shift their focus away from paying for services and looking at the quality outcomes. What they want to see, and the same thing that the physicians of the Marshfield Clinic want to see, is that the patients, overall, the general health of the population continues to improve, that patients are receiving the right care, they have accessibility to it, it's affordable to them, and that the outcomes are in line with what we want to see in society.
From your perspective as the vice president of the Marshfield Clinic, and also you're a pediatric intensivist, which means you're a doctor who works with very sick children. What do you think the good things are about the new health reform law, and are there any bad things?
Well, let's start off with some of the good things. I think one of the things that was a great thing right off the bat was to sort of take away the exclusions for pre-existing conditions. You know, working in pediatrics, the example I would always use is a child who was diagnosed in utero with, say, a congenital heart defect and is born from that child's very first breath prior to the institution of the Accountable Care Act. That child would have been uninsurable for his or her entire life. As we sort of move forward, there's a lot to be still defined about the Accountable Care Act. If you sort of look, there's a lot of legislation, a lot of rules that are still going to have to be created, which I think is part of the reason why the implementation timeline for this is so long. You know, when we start talking about quality of health care, the thing that you need to sort of keep in mind is, what are those quality measures that we really want to be following? Do we have data to support that doing this or that is really going to improve the health of a population? The Center for Medicare and Medicaid Services has been advocating what they call the triple aim, and the triple aim is pretty simple. Basically, you want to improve the health of the population, you want to be providing high-quality care, and you want to be controlling, or ideally reducing, costs to the system. The clinic has been very proactive about incorporating that into not only the way we care for our patients, but also the way we talk with and negotiate with payers.
And Doug Hill, can you react to what you just heard Dr. Stewart say? From his perspective, there are some good things in this bill.
Well, I think he's right on in his comments, and I might start with, we are very fortunate in central Wisconsin and Wisconsin as a state that we have the Marshfield Clinic. The Marshfield Clinic is really a leader in research and in information gathering as it relates to patient care and quality of that care. And I think as we move forward, you know, Dr. Stewart has mentioned that the clinic has taken a proactive role in trying to get ahead of the curve, if you will, of the implementation of the Affordable Care Act and, you know, the policies and the rules around it. And I'm going to make a prediction that a lot of what the Marshfield Clinic has done and will be doing will be viewed as a model by CMS and by the leadership who will be implementing the Affordable Care Act. I really do strongly believe that they are playing a great role, and I think the doctor was also correct when, you know, he's talked about some of the positive aspects of the Affordable Care Act. I think one of the main driving motivating factors for the Affordable Care Act is to really get at prevention and trying to reduce costs in healthcare by putting measures in place, help maintain good health and prevent poor health from increasing. And he mentioned the pre-existing condition part of the Affordable Care Act took place right as soon as the law was signed almost 2 years ago as it relates to children. That pre-existing condition will apply to all adults on January 1, 2014 as well.
So in other words, if you're an adult and you've been told that you can't get insurance because of a pre-existing condition or they won't cover something, you ought to be able to get insurance from someone somewhere under this act.
Well, in 2014, you'll no longer be able to be denied. But right now, if you find yourself in that position, there is catastrophic coverage that people who find themselves in that position can look towards. You know, the premiums on that obviously tend to be a little bit higher. But the fortunate part is if people find themselves in that catastrophic position, they are able to find that. And the doctor may have more to add to that.
You know, going along the same lines, you know, the idea here is that we want to make health insurance should be a right. It's not a privilege. We need to be able to ensure that we're offering our citizens the access to the health care that they need. You know, at the clinic, you know, we've begun to sort of figure out how are we going to go about this. One of the things that the Marshfield Clinic participated in was the physician group practice demonstration project. It was a pilot started by Medicare to sort of see, is it possible to pull costs out of the system? And over the 5-year demonstration period, the Marshfield Clinic was able to save Medicare $118 million. At the same time, we were able to demonstrate that not only were we saving money for the governmental payers, but the quality of care the patients were receiving was also excellent and was the care they needed. You know, the biggest things that we want to avoid is duplication of services, poor coordination of care, poor communication. Those are the kinds of things that are going to add costs to the system, and we always want to be vigilant about making sure that we're addressing in a timely fashion.
Yeah, you know, Dr. Stewart, you say health care is a right, not a privilege. The critics of this Affordable Care Act, and there are many of mm-hmm. them, come right back to you and say, it's not in the Constitution. It's not a right. If you can't afford to pay for health care, that doesn't mean that you're not necessarily going to get it in the free market.
Well, you know, what you're saying is true, but at the same time, we do have a system where anyone can walk in off the street into any emergency department or into any emergency department and receive care. So ultimately, these people are receiving medical care. The question then becomes, you know, how is the system going to handle that additional resource utilization in terms of the cost of providing that care? So, you know, the Marshfield Clinic's position has always been that we want to make sure that individuals have access to good care. If we're able to focus on, as Mr. Hill was saying, prevention, wellness, education, those are the things that are going to limit the amount of the high-end utilization that we see. For example, we know that about 5% of the population consumes about 43% of the healthcare resource, and that utilization is on mainly chronic illnesses, things like hypertension, chronic obstructive pulmonary disease, which is a way of saying emphysema, diabetes, focusing on falls in the elderly and frail care for the frail elderly. Those preventive types of things, establishing a functional and a solid relationship in that patient-physician level where the patient and the physician are working to keep patients out of the hospital, making sure that they understand fully the recommendations being made by their physicians to care for their own health are going to be those preventative types of things up front that in the back end will save costs.
So Doug Hill, how important is prevention? Isn't that really the key to the cost-saving aspects of this law?
Well, it is, and I think, you know, I know the doctor sees it firsthand, but, you know, when we go out and talk to people all over the state, most recently we've done about 50 healthcare town halls and senior forums where we've gone all over the state to meet with seniors and regular citizens in their community to talk about, you know, the benefits that are available to people because of the Affordable Care Act. I start my talk by acknowledging that when the bill was passed or prior to it being debated, there were a number of people in favor of it. There were a number of people opposed to it. But whether you're opposed to it or you're in favor of it, there are benefits right now that are affecting people, and benefits that people have access to, including preventive care, that I believe and my organization believes it's very important that they know. I think any time when we're dealing with the passage of a law or public policy, it's important that, you know, the people, the citizenry who are affected by that law and that public policy understand it the best they can and understand how it affects them. And our organization tries to help with that. And as we go out, prevention is certainly part of that. In the elderly population, prevention for women, prevention for young adults.
And I think appears we've just lost Doug Hill. We're going to try to reestablish contact with him, and I think what we're going to do right now is try to take a break. I'm Glenn Moberg. This is Route 51 Regional Talk Radio on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio.
Support for WPR comes from Rely Local Wausau, working to build the local economy and strengthen the community by making local business everybody's business. Learn more about locally owned and operated businesses at relylocal.com.
And our forecast for north central Wisconsin for the next 3 days, it's really pretty simple. We've got partly cloudy skies with highs in the low 70s and lows in the mid 50s. That's for Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. So certainly not like we're used to in north central Wisconsin. I'm Glenn Moberg on Route 51 today. We are talking about the Affordable Care Act, what critics call Obamacare, and what its advocates say is going to make a big difference in helping to ensure millions of Americans who don't have adequate health care coverage. We've got a couple of guests, Doug Hill, who is the executive director of Know Your Care Wisconsin, and we appear to have lost contact with him from our Superior studio, but with us here in Wausau is Dr. Todd Stewart, who is the vice president of Marshfield Clinic and a pediatric intensivist, and by that I mean somebody who works with very sick children. 1-800-780-9742 if you've got any questions about how this new law affects you, how it might affect your children, how it might affect your insurance coverage. Again, that's 1-800-780-9742, and we have wide open phone lines right now. I don't know if you're able to answer this question, but I'm gonna throw it out there just in case you can. The Congressional Budget Office has just released a new estimate about the health care reform law, what it'll cost, and we're getting conflicting points of view on exactly what those figures mean. Fox News today said the bill will cost $1.76 trillion between now and 2022, twice as much, they say, as the original $900 billion price tag. But Ezra Klein of the Washington Post says the figures actually show a $50 billion decrease in the cost of the new law because those CBO figures only cover the insurance coverage provisions and not the significant savings in Medicare spending and new tax revenues that are involved.
Well, you know, I haven't seen the most recent data. I think there's going to be a lot of debate over whether there's going to be savings that are how big the savings potentially could be. You know, I think the thing that the clinic wants to focus on is again the health of our population. We want to make sure that we are offering the appropriate care to our patients in a timely fashion, and at the same time figuring out how do we reduce the cost of the system to the consumers. So I don't know if I have a really good answer for you. I think you're going to find people on both sides of this debate in terms of what are the going to cost savings going to be.
Well, what is the uncertainty about this doing to you folks at the Marshfield Clinic? Every Republican presidential candidate right now is running on repealing Obamacare. Our congressman, Sean Duffy, says he wants to repeal Obamacare if he's reelected. Now, that's got to throw some uncertainty into the system right now in terms of how you plan ahead, because a lot of these provisions are scheduled to kick in next year and the year after that.
Right. You know, there is a great deal of uncertainty about the whole Accountable Care Act at this point in time. What we've been seeing is, well, let me figure out how I phrase that.
How do you plan with the uncertainty? Are you just going ahead with your doctors to implement it the way the law is written now?
I guess what we're really focusing on is again the health of the population. We've been using our electronic health record in a manner to sort of begin tracking. You know, are we taking care of the chronic conditions? We're going to continue to focus on the quality and the communication. For example, our patient-centered medical homes are good examples of that. Patient-centered medical home is the concept of, again, attempting to decrease utilization by strengthening that patient relationship, coordination of care, keeping patients out of the hospital, making sure that patients understand the care that's being provided for them. These are the sorts of things that the clinic is going to continue to pursue irrespective of the fate of the Accountable Care Act. And we do it because it's the right thing for our patients.
Well, what are some of the common misconceptions you run into about this law?
I think the biggest misconception is that it's going to basically shut the system down. The Accountable Care Act would not be a sustainable sort of system. There was an interesting article by Dr. Feinberg from the Institute of Medicine that came out in this week's New England Journal of Medicine talking about how our current healthcare system is not sustainable in the long run. Mm-hmm. He identified three key attributes that he says are going to help, improve that. And he identifies them as affordability, the adaptability of the system to change as medical technology continues to appear, and acceptability not only to the physicians in terms of the method by which we provide care, but also acceptability to the patients in general. In central and northern Wisconsin, we have a little bit of an additional concern. We know that there's going to be a shortage of primary care physicians in the market. So we already have a shortage. We expect that to continue to get worse. We have to find ways of ensuring that we bring quality healthcare providers into the area. At the same time, we are facing an aging population. We are facing an economic downturn that has been going on for several years now that is sort of keeping businesses from coming in. We're seeing our Medicare to labor ratios increase for the first time in the clinic's history. We now have Medicare and Medicaid populations that exceed 50% of our payer mix. And the clinic will take care of anybody who walks through their doors, but the affordability and the ability mm-hmm. for any health system to maintain, be able to remain open is really of concern.
So one of the problems is that there are a lot of people who just don't have insurance.
Correct. And with the economic downturn that we saw start several years ago, we've seen the number of folks who don't have insurance continue to increase. And again, the clinic's mission is to provide care for anyone who walks through its doors. So we're not going to start turning people away simply because they don't have insurance. That's not the way we've ever operated. But at the same time, we need to make sure that the care we're providing, we're at least covering our costs so that, we can continue in business.
I'm Glenn Moberg. You're listening to Dr. Todd Stewart, the Vice President of the Marshfield Clinic and a doctor who takes care of a lot of very sick kids, talking about the Affordable Care Act, the health care reform law that was signed into law by President Obama 2 years ago this month. We've also got Doug Hill of Know Your Care Wisconsin. We're going to reestablish contact with him during the news break, and we'll be back with more on Route 51. We are back on Route 51 Regional Talk Radio with Dr. Todd Stewart, the Vice President of the Marshfield Clinic, and Doug Hill, who is the Executive Director of Know Your Care Wisconsin. We're talking about the Affordable Care Act, known in some quarters as Obamacare, the national health reform law that was signed into law by the President 2 years ago, and that is changing the way medicine is practiced and delivered in the United States of America. If you've got questions about how the Affordable Care Act affects you, about the provisions that have been put into law, how it affects your insurance, what you might be able to get now that you couldn't get before, how it affects your kids, how it affects seniors, you've got a couple of experts right now to answer those questions. 1-800-780-9742. That's 1-800-780-9742. Doug Hill, in the last hour we were talking about the Congressional Budget Office releasing a new estimate about what the health care reform law will cost. And they say it's going to come in at basically twice what it was before, but we've heard from others who say that they're not figuring in the savings in Medicare spending and the new tax revenues that will be generated. But still, there's a lot of people who are looking at these figures and calling for the repeal of the act. Paul Ryan says the act proves that The figures prove that millions of people could lose their employer-provided coverage. And he says, quote, the president's disastrous health care law continues to unravel, and Orrin Hatch says it needs to be repealed. He says it's a law that keeps getting worse and worse. What's your perspective on this as somebody who is trying to spread the word about the Affordable Care Act 2 years after it was signed into law?
Yeah. Our perspective is to focus on educating people about the Affordable Care Act and the benefits that they have available to them right now. And as I go around the state, I think, you know, there is a lot of questions about the Affordable Care Act and how it affects people and how it will impact their lives. And hopefully by going out and talking to people and groups, we can break through that. I find that when you talk about the Affordable Care Act in its entirety, about the act itself, it's overwhelming. It's overwhelming to me, as someone who, works with it on a daily basis and tries to learn more about it on a daily basis. So when I go out, what I try and do is break it down, by constituency group, break down the law, how it affects children, how it affects young adults, how it affects women, how it affects seniors, and I'll give you some really quick examples.
Well, Doug, before you get into that, sure. just one quick reaction, if you could, to the idea that millions of people are no longer going to have employer-based coverage under this system. Now, the Congressional Budget Office says eventually it will be about 3 million fewer people, but at its worst, 20 million, which is why, you know, we hear these claims being made by Paul Ryan and others. Say it's 3 to 5 million fewer people who lose their employer coverage. What are their options for coverage under the Affordable Care Act if their employers are no longer providing it in a few years?
Well, if their employers are no longer providing it in a few years, as of January 1, 2014, they'll be able to purchase individual private health insurance through what is going to be called a insurance exchange that each state is going to be setting up, that so that people and businesses can have a one-stop shop where they can look at available healthcare plans, private healthcare plans available to them, price compare, compare quality, compare coverages, and they'll be able to purchase insurance that way.
I think Doug raises a really interesting point here in that one of the things that's going to come out of the Accountable Care Act, if it stays in place, is that public transparency, not only in terms of the quality, but in terms of pricing and those sorts of things, so that consumers can begin making educated choices about their healthcare services.
And Doug Hill, as you were saying, it is a monstrous act. There are a lot of different provisions. So go back to your original comments about how it affects different groups within
right.
this country.
Right. So as I was saying, I think what I've found to be most successful is explaining to people how the healthcare law affects them. And after all, really that we as, individuals and human beings, that's generally how we tend to operate. When we hear something, our first thought is, well, how is it going to affect me? Whether you're a small business owner or an uninsured person or an elderly person on Medicare, you want to know how it affects you. And so that's what Know Your Care Wisconsin tries to do, go out and meet with individuals, organizations, to try and explain that. So what we've done is try to break it down by these different groups. And for instance, I was talking about going out and talking with seniors.
In fact, you're going to do that in Wausau on Monday.
We are, and actually, that's why I'm in Superior. We had a town hall, a healthcare town hall, in Washburn, Wisconsin, in Bayfield County this morning. Then we did one in Ashland, and then we did one in Hurley this afternoon. And we are going to be in Wausau next week as well. But we've done these all around the state.
And the one in Wausau is Monday morning at the Marathon County Public Library downtown. In case this show doesn't answer enough of your questions.
You bet. Come on down, and we'd be more than happy to. But so what we find is that when you explain it to people, they have an understanding. So for instance, when we're talking to seniors, we talk about now, because of the Affordable Care Act, under Medicare, they have access to a number of preventive services under Medicare, things like colonoscopies and prostate cancer screenings and and mammography and diabetes counseling and things like that. And the key is they get these things already under Medicare, but because of the Affordable Care Act, what they've done with a number of preventive services now is they've reduced the cost by reducing the copay, and in some instances, there's no charge at all. So, for instance, when you talk about immunizations, flu shots now, seniors on Medicare should be able to get a flu shot at no cost. When you talk about wellness visits, every year, annually, if you're on Medicare, you're entitled to a wellness visit with your physician at no charge. Now, this isn't a full-blown physical with diagnostics and tests, but it's an opportunity to sit down with your doctor, explain to him or her your healthcare concerns, maybe share what prescription drugs you're on, and listen to your doctor and get advice from your doctor as things about things that you should be thinking about in your healthcare.
So, and there's also the Medicare Part D donut hole for prescription drug coverage.
Donut hole. And that's a big part of the Affordable Care Act as well. Is right now there's a gap in coverage. So the Part D prescription drug plan basically covers prescriptions up to $2,900. Then after $2,900 to $7,600, there is no coverage, and that's what's called the donut hole. And a part of the Affordable Care Act is to try and provide some relief to that. So starting this year, if you fall into the donut hole and you have a prescription brand name drug, the Affordable Care Act will pick up 50% of that cost in the donut hole. If you have a generic, they'll pick up roughly about 14% of that cost. And there's a number of people. If you just look at your listener area ship on Route 51, there are 181,000 people on Medicare. That's one in every five people. If you look at Wisconsin,
wow,
there's 918,000 people on Medicare, which translates into roughly one in every six people. And with that Part D prescription drug donut hole filler, because of the Affordable Care Act, roughly 59,000 Wisconsin residents have taken advantage of that discount in that donut hole, and that translates into $37 million
how much
those people have saved.
Doug, how much are they saving on average?
If I recall, the average savings, I believe, is somewhere in the neighborhood of $800 or $900, but
that's a lot of money to a senior citizen on a fixed income.
It certainly is, and even when you're talking about preventive services at reduced costs in Medicare, for instance, when you go in for a check for a colonoscopy or a mammography, you might have a small copay or a Part B deductible of say $15, but if a senior has to go to the doctor two times a month, you know, those copays could add up to $360 a year, and the average amount of gross income for a senior on Medicare is $22,000 a year.
Todd Stewart, anything you'd want to add to that?
No, I think Doug's hit on a couple of very important points, and mainly that, closing the donut hole, the whole idea is to make healthcare more affordable, not only to the Medicare population, but also to the commercial populations. You know, we talk about Medicare savings and shared savings with ACO models and things like that. The healthcare consumer is really more interested in how is it going to hit their pocketbook. And until we're able to sort of take these savings and extend them beyond internal savings for health systems and the payers, you know, the burden is still going to be on the general public. And I think one of the things that I think everybody wants to move towards is a system where healthcare becomes affordable. I mean, right now we're spending 18% of our GDP on healthcare. You know, you listen to the economists and they say, you know, the economic downturn we have right now is nothing compared to what it will be if we cross that magic 20% number. And we're predicting we're going to hit that if we don't change course by 2020.
And again, the free preventive services, the whole idea is to get people before they get really sick, because that's when care becomes very expensive.
You know, it's spending the dollar today is going to save you $10, a year from now. And so, again, it's encouraging patients to become proactive about their health. Get in and get the preventive services, get the immunizations, get the screening exams, so that those high those high expense chronic illnesses are minimized as much as possible.
And Doug Hill, what's the impact of the Act on children and on young adults? Just hit a few of the important bullet points.
Sure. Well, right off the bat, as Dr. Stewart stated in his opening comments, when the law was signed, one of the first things was that pre-existing conditions in regards to children were off the table, that they couldn't be removed from their insurance. And as I've said, that will apply in 2014 for everybody. One of the really neat provisions was the ability to allow young adults age 26 and under to remain on their parents' health insurance. What we found is that young adults in that age group make up now the greatest group by percentage of uninsured. And I think when Medicare passed in 1965, seniors at that point in time were the most uninsured and in poverty. And by passing that, they were able to, get health care for them. Children have been taken care of. And now with the under 26 provision where if you're under 26, you can stay on your parents' health care, it provides that really nice step so that you can transition into hopefully employment where you can get healthcare coverage. But whether you graduate from high school and choose to enter the work world, or you graduate from high school and choose to enter a two-year or a technical or four-year college, having that that access to that is very important. And even after you graduate, as a young person just starting out in your career, sometimes in the competitive job market, that benefit of health insurance it isn't there. And in our travels, one of the stories that we ran into was a young man that was just graduating from the University of Oshkosh last year. And literally 2 days after graduation, he found out that he had a very severe type of leukemia. And if it were not for the Affordable Care Act allowing him to be under his parents' health insurance, he would not have had coverage. And so it's really a neat thing that allowing young people to make that transition into being contributing members of.
And pre-existing conditions in general, is everybody covered by that now, by the provision that insurance companies can't knock you off for a pre-existing condition, or do we have to wait for some of that to kick in?
Well, as we've said, for everybody other than children, you have to wait till 2014. However, if there is a new insurance plan created as a part of creating that new insurance plan, those preventive services that we've talked about have to, by law, be included in there. But the pre-existing part won't be complete until 2014.
Right. A couple of the other things that Doug hasn't mentioned, no longer are there going to be annual limits on the amount that an insurance company would have to cover, and there's no lifetime limits either. Some folks deal with chronic illness their entire life, and they had run into this ceiling of exceeding the maximum allowable, and now we're starting to recognize that that may not be the best policy.
We're going to take a quick break. Dr. Todd Stewart, the vice president of the Marshfield Clinic, and Doug Hill of Know Your Care Wisconsin, talking about the Affordable Care Act, the national health reform law that is 2 years old this month. I'm Glenn Moberg. This is Route 51 Regional Talk Radio.
Support for WPR comes from UMR, a United Healthcare company providing employee benefits administration, integrated health management, and pharmacy benefits administration for self-funded employers throughout the U.S. More at umr.com.
And today on Route 51, we are talking about the Affordable Care Act, the national health reform law that was signed into law 2 years ago this month, and our guests, Dr. Todd Stewart, the vice president of Marshfield Clinic, and Doug Hill, the director of Know Your Care Wisconsin, 1-800-780-9742, if you'd like to get in a phone call between now and the end of the show. Doug Hill, how is this law going to affect women and their health coverage?
Well, I think one of the aspects when you talk about women and health care and insurance, I think a lot of times I've heard women referred to as basically, because you're a woman, it was sometimes considered a pre-existing condition by the insurance company, namely for a number of factors like pregnancy. And so a number of insurance companies consider that a pre-existing condition, and as silly as that sounds. So it's interesting. Studies have shown that women, especially within the families, are the primary researcher and primary purchaser of health insurance for the family. So they play an integral role in making healthcare decisions, not only for the family, but for themselves, and oftentimes put themselves on the back burner. So a part of the Affordable Care Act is really to emphasize including a lot of, making sure that the inclusions for some of the things that may have been not there before in insurance, such as pregnancy and help with maternity and things like that, are now included. And actually, starting August 1st of this year, there'll be a number of preventive services available for women, things including well women visits, which are very similar to the well visits that a senior citizen would have who is on Medicare. But in this instance, obviously, it would be a well woman visit talking about women's health care and with their physician, gestational diabetes, HPV testing, breastfeeding support supplies and counseling, domestic violence screenings, and things like that. So as of August 1st, those types of preventive services will be available to women in the same fashion with reduced cost, reduced copay, sometimes no copay, and so in essence, they can get those preventive services and hopefully utilize them in a way there where they can focus on preventive care with their physician as well.
Are there going to be any exceptions to the rule of free contraception as preventive care for women?
Well, I think, you know, they had there was a big controversy on with talk radio a week and a half or 2 weeks ago.
Well, I did an entire show on this, and
you
I don't want to spend a lot of time on it.
No, we're not going to. I think, you know, that's been addressed by I think the policy implementation that the administration and HHS reached with religious organizations. So I think, without going too much into it because you've covered it, I think you know, the fact that the insurance companies were very willing to accept the fact that they would be taking care of the cost of the coverage and not the religious organization speaks to the fact that, you know, you can help reduce costs within the insurance companies by that coverage.
So in other words, contraception will be covered?
Correct. It will be a coverage. Yep.
Let's go to the phones. We've got Greg in Glidden. Greg, you're on Route 51. Hello, Greg.
Good evening, gentlemen. How are you?
Doing well.
Yes. I strongly disagree with the Republicans in Washington and in Madison running roughshod on Obama here. I don't understand why do they hate about it, about the health care thing. I think it's good for a lot of reasons.
Well, thank you so much. Do you have any questions about the care that it's going to provide you, Greg?
Not that I know of.
All right. Well, thanks so much for the comment, and thank you so much for listening.
Gentlemen, have a great evening.
You too.
Yep.
Gentlemen, the new law requires that at least 85% of all premium dollars collected by insurance companies for large employer plans are spent on health care services instead of overhead. The idea that, you know, it's not going to a bureaucracy, it's going to go directly to health care service. My question is, will the insurance companies be able to do this and still stay in business? Because if they could, then why haven't they been doing it already, and why do they work so hard at finding reasons to reject requests for coverage?
Well, you know, I know for a fact that a Security Health Plan has been doing it already. You know, it's the same idea as a charitable organization, and you are making a out-of-pocket donation to whatever charitable organization of your choice, but you want to make sure that those dollars are actually going to benefit the charity that you've chosen, not going to promote overhead costs, advertising, or those sorts of things. I think it's an excellent provision in the bill in the sense that it's really going to focus health plans to ensure that they're meeting their mission of providing medical health services to their patients, and really sort of keeping those plans and making sure that the costs of health care aren't being absorbed by administrative costs.
Now, it's 2014 when the mandates kick in. Individuals who can afford it must purchase basic health insurance coverage or pay a fee to help offset the costs of caring for uninsured Americans. The Wisconsin Attorney General says this provision is unconstitutional. Doug Hill, your reaction to that?
Well, we're going to find out because the Supreme Court is going to hear it shortly, I believe in about 2 weeks. And so they're going to hear the case on the constitutionality of the individual mandate and then render a decision, which should probably come down in sometime in summer. But, you know, when you talk about the individual mandate, some, you know, people wonder, well, why is the government forcing me, or what's the reasoning behind it? And when, quite frankly, the reasoning behind it is to try and lower costs. And by mandating that everybody have some kind of insurance, what you're doing is you're spreading the risk of unhealthy people across the whole pool so that you just don't have sick people, you know, utilizing, you know, insurance costs to pay for the health care. And by making everybody go into the pool by purchasing health insurance, you help drive down the costs for everyone. And one of the great questions we get, you know, when we've done reforms is, well, you know, I really don't want to pay for somebody else's health care. And I think Dr. Stewart earlier in his comments kind of made mention about it. When people utilize the emergency room, when you utilize the emergency room,
we're all paying for it.
Exactly. And people, when your child gets sick, you're not going to say to yourself, well, you know, I don't have health insurance, so therefore I'm not going to go get my child treated.
Doug Hill, we are completely out of time. I want to give Dr. Stewart a chance to make one last comment here.
You know, I appreciate that. The Marshall Clinic is going to remain committed to serving its patients irrespective of the path that the Accountable Care Act pursues. You know, what the clinic is most committed to pursuing is making sure patients are staying healthy, that we're getting them the services that they need, but at the same time making sure that the societal costs don't get out of control.
Thank you, Dr. Todd Stewart, Vice President of the Marshfield Clinic, Doug Hill, the Executive Director of Know Your Care Wisconsin. There is a government website that answers questions about the Affordable Care Act. It is healthcare.gov. I'm Glenn Moberg of Wisconsin Public Radio. Thanks to our executive producer, Rick Ryer, our on-air producers, Jane Ritker and Crystal Bennis. Special thanks to John Munson and Paul Guello of Wisconsin Public Radio's Superior Studios for helping to make this show possible. Thanks, as always, to John Altenberg for the Route 51 theme. Thanks for riding along with us today. Forward, as we say in Wisconsin. Until next week, we are heading out of town.